Welcome to the River of Life broadcast, a weekly ministry of South River Baptist. This year, we are studying the book of Hebrews about faith that endures. The journey of faith is filled with challenges and victories. Life-changing faith is not merely instinctive. It's not a happy feeling. It's an act of the will based on God's unchanging word. Now open your Bible to hear Pastor Chris Thompson share simple biblical truths to help us build faith to overcome life's temptations and trials. Here's Pastor Chris Thompson.
I invite you to grab a Bible there in the pew rack if you don't, because we all want to have the Word of God open before our hearts this morning. If you're watching online or listening on the radio, grab your copy of God's Word as well this morning, because we want to hear God speak. This Word never returns void. Listen, there's one guarantee we have. God says that in Isaiah 55. I want that word to saturate my heart. I want that word like the rain that falls to fall on this ground, because then it can bring forth life. It can bring forth abundance of life. And I pray that's what you desire this morning. If your heart's ready to hear God speak, and we're ready for that seed that the sower is throwing, if I'm ready to receive that this morning, it can do something amazing if we will just choose to unite it with faith and obedience. So I'm in chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, if you'll be turning there, the section called the Pastoral Epistles, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, Paul writing from prison, writing to these pastors, writing to them, encouraging them as they are shepherding flocks there and needing encouragement. Preachers need that time and again, and especially leading God's house. And Paul is writing, and he's opening up this letter, and he's speaking to Timothy about the things that have shaped him, the things that have molded him as a young man, as he's grown in the faith. And Paul is reflecting on that and reminding him, reminding you and me this morning as well, the things that shape us and mold us as believers. And we need to be mindful of that and the influence of those that spoke into our life and helped us to have a spiritual heritage. Now, did you know you can find out about your personal heritage? They have websites now, right? Ancestry.com and MyHeritage.com. You can go there and you can discover your family's heritage. And even some of them, they take a sample of your DNA and they can tell you what ethnicity you are. It's really amazing what computers and things can do today. I always thought it'd be neat to log in maybe and find out maybe, you know, you're an heir to a throne. Wouldn't that be fascinating? My mom was born in England in World War II. I've always wondered, you know, maybe that genealogy goes back somewhere and maybe I've got a castle that I'm supposed to have one day. You know, wouldn't that be neat? Amen. Now, listen, as a child of faith, understand I am a descendant of a king, amen, a king of kings, amen. I'm getting a mansion in heaven too, amen. Actually, it's a room in his castle, if you want to be true and biblically here. I don't get my own mansion. It's about his house, not mine, amen. But that's authentic faith there. That's what the word teaches us. But we should be mindful that we have a heritage and we have a spiritual heritage. I'm not concerned just about my ethnic background or my family lineage. I'm concerned about the spiritual heritage that has come to me. The spiritual heritage that is coming from me. Do you ever stop and think about who nurtured Christ? Who nurtured the Christian faith in your life? How was that brought to pass? If you just stop for a minute and reflect on those who wove some spiritual DNA. I understand the Spirit of God is the one who works in our hearts. The Spirit of God who takes the Word of God and weaves that and brings new life. But there's someone who God used. They were instruments used by God to speak into your life, to pour that truth into your life, to water that seed that was planted in your life. Have you thought about saying thank you for them or thanking God this morning? Hopefully it was your parents, right? Hopefully it was moms and dads who recognized what Deuteronomy 6 says. Deuteronomy 6 is really clear. Listen, men, I know it's Mother's Day, and we're thankful for our moms. We're thankful for all the moms present. But let me just say, men, we have a responsibility as we lead our home to teach our children to fear the Lord, our children and our grandchildren. It's multiple generations of faithfulness that God wants. So if you're an empty nester today and say, man, they're out of the house, no, you still have influence. You still can influence the next generation. multiple generations to fear God, to reverence Him, to make the great confession, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." Who is the one true God? Jesus, praise God. To make that confession, to obey the commandment, to love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. To make the great commitment that the words that were being proclaimed are internalized, they're written on our hearts. And whether we're men leading our homes or whether you're moms today, I often am reminding moms that, you know what, your heart is the child's playground. Protect it, guard it. Realize that there's a pipe that flows from your heart to the hearts of your children, and you want the right thing flowing from that pipe into their lives, into the lives of your grandchildren this morning. We realize that word is internalized and then it's fleshed out. It's evident on our foreheads and on our hands and on our homes, so that we're rising up and lying down and we're talking about that word, because we realize the power of that word to help us to have faith, to become part of the family of faith, to live by faith, to be rewarded for our faith and our faithfulness. Paul's going to write about these things, realizing the power of mentors and mothers and nurturing the faith in the next generation. Realizing we have a responsibility in this room. If God has blessed us with little ones, we have this responsibility. We have this opportunity. Listen, everybody's going to worship something. Let's inspire them, encourage them, nurture in them to worship the one true God. It's God or mammon, Jesus would say. You got your choice, right? There's really not many options in between. You got to choose. But we realize, listen, we should recognize we have a spiritual heritage. There's someone who poured into us. We want to be found faithful. They're the ones coming behind us. The legacy that we leave them, the path that we show them, that it leads to God's throne. And Paul's going to write about this here, and as he introduces the letter, and as he writes a second letter to Timothy, reminding him of his own spiritual heritage, his forefathers, reminding Timothy of the work that he did in his life and serving alongside him, the work that his mom has done, his grandmother has done, the work that God has done in his life. And that's what we should want to see and celebrate today as we gather on this Lord's Day. We know it's Mother's Day, but it's the Lord's Day. And we're thankful for our moms that God gave us. We're thankful that God wove us together in our mom's womb. As moms and dads, we realize and recognize our responsibility now for our children to have their own personal spiritual heritage. Realizing God must do a work in their life. We can do the best we can, sowing the seeds of faith in their hearts, but realizing we want them to embrace the faith, to make it their own, to internalize it, and realize one day our prayer is that they would lead their family to be faithful and do the same thing. We can acknowledge someone was faithful to sow the seed in our lives. It's why we're here today, to worship Him, to celebrate Him. And Paul's going to speak to Timothy and remind him how you and I this morning, listen, we can treasure our spiritual heritage and be grateful for it and instill it in the lives of someone else. So let's discover that this morning. If we'll stand and hear God's word, I invite you. I'm going to back up to verse 3 and read down through verse 7 this morning in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul writes, remember, he's writing from prison as he writes this. In fact, he's writing from prison knowing he's about to die. Sometimes the last thing we say is really important in life, especially when family gather around you and you give them those last words. Paul's writing in that vein. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you, stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Father, I pray your Spirit, who is our teacher. Lord, we need courage. Lord, we don't need fear. God, we need to have this Spirit of love, this Spirit of a sound mind, this Spirit of power within us. Because, Lord, there is a war waging around us. Lord, it's a battle over truth. It's a battle over whether you truly are God. And if you are, then we have to surrender to you. And God, I pray for us to be found faithful in our generation. Lord, sowing your seed in the hearts of children, speaking and showing them the way of life, the way that Jesus has taught us to live by. And Lord, I pray today for families that are before me, giving thanks for our moms, giving thanks for those who have been spiritual mothers in our life. But Lord, mindful of the opportunities that you have given us, Lord, to nurture faith in the next generation. May we be found faithful doing that, Lord, as we treasure what was poured into us, embracing the opportunity to pour that into the lives of someone else that's coming behind us. Speak to us, Spirit of God, I pray. May our hearts be tuned to you to listen carefully to what the Spirit is saying, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. Paul, of course, again in prison, writing to Timothy, taking a moment to cherish the memory of his own spiritual heritage, his forefathers, and Timothy's spiritual heritage that Paul himself played a part in. Remember, there's things that shape and mold us in life, the experiences, the circumstances, but there's individuals that walk with us oftentimes through those circumstances that God allows in your life and my life, individuals that God uses to help us to see more clearly the way of faith or encourage us to choose the way of faith, the path of wisdom, the path of fearing God and obeying Him. We should be mindful of those, our moms, our grandmothers, our mentors, individuals who help cultivate that spiritual faith within us, who sow the seed. Paul's mindful of his own godly mentors, and you and I should treasure those as well. Paul had a spiritual heritage. He served like his forefathers, he said. He had faith. They had faith in God. They followed a pattern, and they followed a pattern that God has written in his word that all of us should follow. Those who will live, are to live by faith. Everybody saw over there in Deuteronomy chapter 6, I quoted earlier, that was what all the Jews understood. It was their responsibility to teach the next generation and the generation after that, their God-ordained responsibility to lead their family, to fear the Lord, to confess Him, to obey Him by loving Him. And Paul followed the example, and he did that not like heretics who have their own truth, but he believed the faith that had been passed down to him. And he served God with a clear conscience in this way. In other words, as he served like his forefathers, what he believed is what he did. And as he did that, he had a pure conscience. That's an important thing, that you can be able to lay your head on your pillow at night and know that I was faithful and true to what God told me to do. I was faithful and true to obey His word. I was faithful and true to put it into practice. Paul is saying, listen, my forefathers, they worshiped the one true God. Now, and understand, listen, he was ignorant for a period of time because he didn't realize Jesus was the Messiah. But God opened his eyes. God helped him to see that wonderful truth. And when he did, he surrendered. And then as he wrote in the book of Hebrews, we're discovering, he looks back and he'll see a great hall of faith, a great list of his forefathers who were faithful even when others weren't within the community, the Jewish community. Paul realizing, listen, they walked by faith. Whether they believed in it was faith that by God's word, the worlds were made, whether it was by faith they obeyed the word that was spoken to them, whether it was trusting and believing the promises that were given to their forefathers and just embodying. He never jettisoned his Jewish religious upbringing. In Romans chapter 9, he says, listen, my burden is that my brethren be saved, that their eyes be opened, that they realize all the blessings of God, the covenants, the adoption, all that God, the worship that was given to them, it was to point them to Christ. And my burden is that they will be saved. Paul recognizes there were some who worshiped the Lord, who were obedient of his forefathers. And you and I should be mindful of those that went before us, that modeled for us the faith. Paul himself did it for Timothy. He's mindful. He's remembering Timothy in his prayers night and day as he's there in that dank, dark, cold prison cell, praying for this young pastor who's in Ephesus. in a vital church doing a vital work, realizing that this is a one of the largest cities in the Roman Empire. What happens in the church of Ephesus could have great influence all throughout that region. And praying for that young pastor, mindful of Timothy's own tears serving alongside Paul. We don't know whether they were tears of joy, tears from difficulty, or tears with joy. But what we know is this. He had been faithful as a protege, following Paul, serving alongside him since they met over in the book of Acts chapter 16. And Paul reflects on his own heritage and the one that follows after him, young Timothy, and he's rejoicing. Tears of joy, celebrating, mindful, listen, of faith that came to fruition, faith that came alive, faith that modeled how we're all supposed to live. Now, I don't know about you. Do you remember the one that poured the faith into you? If it wasn't your parents, hopefully it was a spiritual mom or dad, someone who came alongside and spoke into your life, someone who came alongside you and watered the seeds. I'm mindful of a pastor who left a church down in sunny Pensacola, Florida. He was retired, and he came all the way up to upstate New York and to an icy, snow-covered tundra up there. I don't know why anyone would do that, especially from Florida. But he did to pastor, be an interim pastor of a church there in Liverpool, New York, where I heard the gospel. And he shared that faith with my mom and my dad and with myself and my brother. And I'm thankful for him giving 2 years of his life just to say, I'm not retired. I'm still serving the Lord. And he served and he sowed that seed in my heart. I'm grateful for that this morning. I'm grateful for others. My mentor I saw this past Monday, Dr. Paige Patterson, there in Texas, and I serve on a board that he is the leader of as they talk about international missions and things that they do all around the world and serving the Lord and still at 83 years old, spreading the gospel, not stopping, reminding me there's a day of rest that's coming. It's in heaven. We're going to be faithful until we reach there. The one who shaped me, molded me. I mean, I named my second born after him. He was my major professor. He married me. Oh, my goodness. So many things he did. Making me, telling me, showing me, modeling for me why you stand for truth. Why you don't capitulate to the culture. Why you do hard things. Why you believe God is able to do impossible things and you go forward in faith. We need those mentors in our life. Amen. If you don't have one, find someone who walks by faith. They've walked just a little bit further down the road than you have and start following them as they follow Christ. And then make sure someone's coming behind you that you're pouring into. Like it should be a connection, right? From generation to generation, faithful mentors that pour it into us and we pour into the next one. Listen, until Christ calls us home and we have life and breath. Yeah, listen, I know some of you may be older. Listen, you still can have influence in the next generation, even though they're not yours. They're part of this family of faith. And we need to embrace that opportunity while there's time. And you never realize how one word you say can really impact that generation. Let me show you a way that happens. Now, I'm not going to embarrass which son this was, but I had a son who, maybe you've had this experience. Do you realize your children don't always believe what you say? In fact, I swear, I think they believe that Walmart sells these great big bottles of stupid pills and the mass like, and you start taking them about the time that they turn 12, they think you're like double dosing a day, right? And so, and then by the time they're 25, they realize, man, those weren't stupid pills. Dad, those are wisdom pills, right? And so my son asked me something and I said, no. And he said, well, I'm going to ask mom. I thought, all right. And so he went and asked his mom. He didn't like what she said, so he said, well, I'm going to go ask Pastor Scott. Well, he went and asked Pastor Scott, and he didn't like what he said. And then he said, well, I'm going to ask another man in the church that he served alongside, taking up the offering. And he asked him, and he said the same thing. And he came back, and he said, I asked you, and Mom said the same thing. And Pastor Scott said the same thing. And Mr. So-and-so said the same thing. And he was just frustrated. And I said, praise God. Praise God, amen. Listen, there's an air that we breathe of faith. There's an air that we should be breathing as the family of faith here. Individual families of faith and the family of faith when we gather together. I want my children as much as possible breathing that air because they won't always listen. Praise God, they come around. But I want as many people as possible speaking that air into their lives. for them to be exposed to it. Because then, listen, I know that what's being sown, if it's consistent with, and there's a lot of air out there, you can breathe. Okay? I want that in their life as much as possible. And even when they don't want it, because sometime they'll realize he was right. She was right. Mom was right. My dad was right. God was right, is what I want them to realize. And it's godly mentors, praise God, that we have them. Praise God we can be them. We can embrace that opportunity. Listen, if you've walked with Christ, there's someone who has not walked as far as you have, and you can speak into their life and say, well, here's one truth that I've learned. Here's one truth that I've discovered. You should apply this. And by the way, I'm listening and I'm following the footsteps of this one who's going before me. We should all embrace that. Paul's celebrating. He's rejoicing. Even when he's in prison, all that he's suffering for the gospel, he's not really suffering. He's rejoicing even in the midst of it. You know why? The gospel can't be chained. It can't be hindered from going forth. The gates of hell can't stop its advance. And we need to live like that and realize that. And while you have life and breath, breathe it into someone else's life. Breathe the truth of God's word while God gives you opportunity. You never know how you may change someone's life and their path if you and I would just be faithful. Paul's just saying, I treasure godly mentors, my own and the one that I am to Timothy. He also treasured godly moms. And we should too. Notice what he says here in verse 5. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that's in you, Timothy. But it wasn't first in you. It was first in your grandmother, Lois. It was in your mother, Eunice. And I'm persuaded it's in you also. I mean, Paul points to this genuine, authentic, this sincere faith that Timothy has. This authenticness that he has, this authenticity. But Timothy, realize you have a spiritual heritage. It began in your grandmother. It then passed to your mom, Eunice. It then passed to you. We don't have any record of his dad. We don't know whether he was dead. We don't know whether he was a Gentile, evidently, because he doesn't highlight that he was a person of faith. He met them over in the book of Acts, it says, and while he was there, they heard the gospel. Timothy got saved, and Timothy followed Paul in ministry. So someone, listen, his parents, his mom and grandmother, were doing what Deuteronomy 6 says. They were nurturing the faith in the hearts of the children. And if anything today, moms, I just want to remind you of the power and the influence you have as a woman of faith. I mean, listen, Proverbs is written, chapters 1 through 9, a father speaks to his children. He speaks to his sons. He encourages and implores them to walk in the fear of the Lord, to embrace the fear of God. Lady Wisdom, she's there. But moms, over there in chapter 31, that's written for you. It's a bookend to the book of wisdom there. The woman who fears the Lord, it's not so much what she says, though she does speak into the life of her children, but it's the way she lives, modeling a reverence of God. Realizing that a wise woman builds her house, Proverbs 14:1. Realizing that it's that fear of the Lord that she displays by her words, by her outlook, by her adornment, what she's clothed with. By how she smiles at the future, her communion, what drips from her lips is truth and love. By her earnest labors and work and the sacrifices that she gives, she demonstrates that. And I just encourage you, implore you, keep doing it. Keep modeling reverence of God. Man, we have a responsibility to teach it. And it's not just our words. We as well are to be models of that. It's not so much I'm going to put the fear of God in you, child, but I'm going to model the fear of God before you. Y'all know the difference there, amen? Listen, if we don't model it, but we say we're going to put it in them, we're hypocrites. Don't do that, men. Moms, you have a powerful... I think of Moses' mama, Jochebed, who had him, nursed him, and just for those few years while she nursed him, possibly up to age 4, possibly 5, we don't know, but we know it was enough to instill in him, as we'll see in the book of Hebrews when we celebrate, he was willing to embrace the sufferings of Messiah rather than the riches of the world because of what mama nurtured in his heart at a young age. Moms, those little ones, they're precious, and you've only got so much time. I'm telling you, ours are When I stop and think, when I came here, they were all little. Now, man, they're all taller than me. Wow, it flies by. Make the most of those minutes. Pouring God's word. Speaking God's word. Man, encouraging your brides in that way. Modeling it as well in your own home. Grandmoms, you're not done. This is Lois and Eunice, both of them. Speaking life, speaking spiritual life into the precious hearts of those children. Paul's just celebrating that, and we should celebrate that too today. You say, man, I wish I had a godly mom who did that for me. I didn't have that, Pastor Chris. Well, start one. You become that then. You thank God that grace found you. You thank God that grace found your home. You thank God that grace has opened your eyes. You thank God that grace can change your life. And then, I mean, that's what our God does, isn't he? He's the God of the great reversal. I mean, you know, sin goes to the third and fourth generation. It can peter out, right? But then to those who love him, you invert that funnel. And he says, if it just takes one, then it goes to the thousands. Thousands can experience the grace and mercy of God. And it can start with you, even if you didn't have it. That's the God who makes that possible today that we worship. We celebrate. His name's Jesus. And he can change that if you and I will allow him to. We say, I want to embrace that opportunity today, Lord. A spiritual legacy that flows from me. I love what David would say over there in Psalm 16. He would remind us of this in so many ways. Over in Psalm 16, he says, you know, Lord, you're the portion of my inheritance in my cup. God, you're my inheritance, I think. You maintain my lot. He says to this, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. David, mindful, listen, how the lines fell to him. Listen, if you were privileged to have a godly mom, godly grandmother who poured in, man, praise the Lord for that today. You better give thanks and you better call them today and be thankful for them and remind them, I'm thankful. And if you don't have that, then start one today. Let the lines fall in a pleasant place in the life of someone who comes after you because you resolved, as men should resolve, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And you know what? We're going to establish that in the life of our children. You know, David also would say, or the psalmist would say over in Psalm 127, verses 3 and 5, behold, children, they are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak of him, when they speak with their enemies in the gate. Such a picture, an arrow of potential that you know you fire out to hit a target, realizing it goes so much further than you ever can. Realizing our responsibility is to prepare that arrow and to shape and mold it and sharpen it just so that it can hit the target out there in life. And yet we're mindful, even moms and dads, as we fire those arrows out there, we realize they don't always hit the target, do they? And that's okay. You know why? Because there's only one who always hit the target. His name was Jesus. You see, when we don't hit the target, it reminds me that we stumble and fall short. We miss the mark. It reminds me I need grace. Oh, I need grace. If there's anything we can teach our children, is not only they need grace, we need to model it before them. Man, I need grace. And God's got amazing grace to give. And we look to him. When we miss the target, we remind them of that. We need his grace as much as they do. And that's a healthy thing to do, to walk by faith. And to point them, but he's still the target. We're still going to keep shooting and firing each day. Empowered by his spirit, by his grace, we are what we are. And remind them to walk by faith. However many arrows he puts in your quiver, 1, 3, 5, 7, it doesn't matter. Fire them out there. Inspire them to go farther than you can ever go. Trust in the Lord. Doing what he's called you to do. Inspire them to hit a target out there that God has for them. That's what we have as an opportunity before us. And we realize, listen, it's not just our mentors and our mothers, but it's also God himself, his spirit, and the gift that we have been given, empowered to go and do precisely that. I mean, it's fascinating to me as he remembers his mentoring, as he remembers his mother and his grandmother and the faith that's been cultivated, the maternal influence, the mentoring influence that he's had. Paul says this, therefore, and because of that, Because you have that, I'm reminding you, stir up the gift of God that's in you through the laying on of hands, my hands. Because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Now, I find it amazing, isn't it, that Paul would speak this way to him. I mean, he's a young protege. He's a young pastor. Clearly, he was having challenges. You read 1 Timothy, you see over there that he was having challenges in the church. Men who were teaching strange doctrines, other doctrines. Individuals that weren't listening carefully, and they were loving money instead of loving God, and who had blessed them in some way. Reminding them of essential truth and not shipwrecking their faith. But I mean, he speaks to him and reminds him, listen, the Spirit, God has worked in you in some way. Set it ablaze. Moms, if there's anything we can do, it's inspiring our children and our grandchildren. Listen, attempt great things for God. He's put his hand on you. He's blessed you. Believe, choose to believe God has a plan and a purpose for your life, something he wants to do. And Timothy, you stir it up, fan it up. The picture here is there's some embers that just need the ashes removed and need some fresh air, some fresh oxygen. And you know what happens when that happens? I mean, come on, if you ever make a bonfire, just get your air blower and come beside it, man. Fire that thing up, man. Put some fresh air on it. That pile will go up fast. He's saying you need to rekindle that flame. You need to stir it up to blow some air on the fire. Because what happens, you become a blaze. And when you do that and you realize the spiritual heritage that's been poured into you, you've been blessed to receive, you realize God has worked in your life. Timothy, evidently in some way, Paul had laid his hands on him, whether it was the gift of the Spirit of God or whether it was some enablement that God had given him to be a spiritual leader as a pastor in a church. Whatever it was, stir it up, rekindle it. And when you stir it up, one of the things you'll have is not a spirit of fear. You won't run from opportunities. You won't run from obstacles. You won't run from challenges. You won't run in crisis. No, you embrace it. Because God's not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power. A spirit of love. A spirit of a sound mind. Now, it's fascinating to me that Paul would say that, a spirit of power. Everywhere you read when Paul wrote, he says, listen, I'm the apostle of weakness. Asthene is the Greek word. I'm the apostle with no strength. Literally, that's what he's saying. Where did he find his strength? The Almighty God working in his life. I mean, listen, there's a lot of challenges out there, and it's easy for our kids to be overwhelmed by that. And mom, listen, you're not the one to rescue them. I know we want to sometimes, right? We want to be the one to rescue them from those challenges. The best thing we can do is encourage them, walk alongside them, and encourage them. No, you got to go forward in faith. See them develop that faith, grow that faith, stretch that faith. Don't be the one who always rescues them. You want them to learn, God's the one that's got to rescue me. God's the one that's got to sustain me. If you're the strength for their crisis, one day they're going to be out of the house. What are they going to do then? They need to learn to be dependent on God for the battle, to give them strength each day, to not be afraid because they know who their faith is in. And greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. We need a generation to realize that today. As you and I plant the banner for Jesus and we trust in God, whether we're in our office, in our factory, in our business, where we live, on the ball team, standing for Christ, our kids should see that we're empowered by God as well, that he's given us a spirit of power, a spirit of love. Now, moms, you demonstrate this so faithfully. We're grateful for your witness of this. Because you see, love, the spirit of love is sacrificial. And we're mindful, and sometimes we don't say thank you enough, for all the sacrifices that you give. Because that's what love is. It's putting others before yourself. And moms, you do that from the very beginning. And so we're thankful of that. If anyone can inspire that and model that, it's you. It's authentic faith. It's what, listen, proves our authenticity. By this, they'll know that you're mine if you love one another, right? But encouraging that in the lives of the children, That God's the one that enables us for this battle. God enables us to keep going forward in faith till we reach his throne. God's the one who gives us that spirit of love, to love even when we're not loved. Not to retaliate, but to do what is actually, listen, what we want done to us. And in a spirit of a sound mind, of disciplined thinking, of right thinking. And by the way, that only happens when there's truth in our life, when truth is in my soul, in my being, that I know how to live with self-mastery. I know how to live under control. It's a fruit of the Spirit to have that soundness of mind, that soberness of thinking. And see, what's amazing is it's the Spirit of God that dwells within us that enables us to do these things. And moms, if there's anything you can do, dads, if there's anything you do, inspire this next generation to trust in the Lord, to live by his power, to live like Christ lived for loving us, to do so with a sober way of thinking. I'm telling you, there's a lot of crazy thinking out there today. We need sound minds. The only way you're going to have a sound mind is to have truth as your rudder. To have truth, the word of God, as Paul will say later in this epistle, that's doctrine for us. It reproves us. It corrects us. It instructs us in the right ways of living. It's what God breathes, his word. And we need it breathed into our life, so it's breathing out of our life. And when that happens, then that evidence of the Spirit of God is in our life. And man, we want to see that. We should be thankful that God's done it. We should want to fan that even more and stir that up, realizing the heritage that we have. I mean, we should treasure these things today, amen? Realizing who poured into us and being thankful for it, but then stopping and consider, well, who am I pouring it into today? And we all have this responsibility if we've walked with Christ. There's someone coming behind us, listen, that we can speak into their lives. We should desire that for our own houses, our own homes, that we should desire to see that born from us, a spiritual legacy that comes after us with intentionality, being grateful for those who poured into us, but realizing I want that to happen in those who come after me. You know, at the end of the service, this is the time when we just stop for a moment and I've heard the word of God and I realize these truths are important. But now what do I do with that? What is my responsibility? What is my application? Well, first off, it's taking God at his word. I'm so grateful that the God we worship this morning is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so whatever he's been instructing our forefathers and has been instructing me, we can pass on to the next generation because he isn't going to change. He's the same. Praise God. We never have to waver or wonder. We just need to go forward in faith. We just need to take him at his word. This word that's alive and living, it speaks to us. And maybe today I just need to get on the altar and I just say, God, I want that heritage that was poured into me. God, help me to be faithful to pass it on. Paul would tell Timothy, listen, find godly men, honorable men that you can pass this sacred trust onto. Not just within the church, maybe you mentor them, but also as parents, realizing the responsibility we have, moms and dads, to be faithful in this, to pass this along, to establish this spiritual heritage so that the lines have fallen in pleasant places to our children and grandchildren. Maybe we should need to get on the altar this morning and say, God, I want that today. And I want to pray, maybe your children are gone, but you want to pray, God, with the seed, I know it was sown in their heart. God, I know the word doesn't return void. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, water that seed. Bring someone into their life that would just water that seed that's been planted there. Open their eyes, Lord, make them, encourage them today to remain faithful and true to you. Maybe you say, listen, I need to establish that heritage. It's never been in my life, but I want it, Pastor Chris. And today you just need to come and take my hand and say, Pastor Chris, I want to establish a new spiritual heritage in my life. His name is Jesus, and he starts it all. When you and I repent of our sin and put our trust in him and experience his grace, our life is made new, and he's the one who can begin the work. And man, when he works, it's pretty awesome.
Thank you for joining us today on the River of Life broadcast. If you want to know more about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, please call us at South River at 704-876-1520 or email us at hope@southriverbaptist.com. We also want to know how this program has blessed your life. Please send us a note and let us know you are listening and how our church family can pray for you. We invite you to join us here next Sunday or at our church location at 2659 South Chipley Ford Road in Statesville.